Blog Talk Radio.
Excuse me, yes, sir, I understand, but do you actually have the word yes in your vocabulary?
I guess it started when I was a kid. If you said I couldn't do it, I did. Always had a stubborn streak, put a wall in front of me, and I'll find a way to get around it. There was a friend who said I'd never make the team. A lot of small town talk that said I'd never leave. Oh, and you know who you are. You all play the part in pushing me on to my dreams. I wanna thank everyone who ever told me no. Pack it up and get back home. It kept me going, knowing I would prove them wrong. Yeah, I knew it all along. Without a mind, I'd given up a long time ago. And so, I want to thank everyone who ever told me no. Made my music for a man behind the desk. He said, sorry, what you got, I just don't get. Oh, but here I am today, standing on this stage, and I wonder even now if he gets it, yeah. I wanna thank everyone who ever told me no. Pack it up and get back home. It kept me going, knowing I would prove them wrong. Yeah, I knew it all along. Without a mind, I'd given up a long time ago. And so, I want to thank everyone who ever told me no. Everyone who ever told me no. Pack it up and get back home, boy. It kept me going, knowing I would prove them wrong. Yeah, I knew it all along. Without a mind, I'd given up a long time ago. And so, I wanna thank everyone who ever told me no. Told me no.
We'll get back to you on that, son. Just keep trying. I'm not sure that you actually look like a star.
I just want to thank everyone who told me no, because for many, many years, you would not believe the people that have told me no. This is Off the Chain. I am your host, Yvonne Mason, and nobody tells me no anymore because of this show, the books I write, the clothing design, And all the people that have supported me, we have arrived, ladies and gentlemen. I ran the numbers this morning. I get so amazed every morning and just get more and more humble. Just on this show by itself, we're at 64,238 listeners. It just almost is unfathomable, because when I started this, I wasn't sure how it would be well received. I wasn't sure if even people would want to come on. But apparently they like this show. And thank you, Australia, because you are our biggest listening base just on this show. And thank you for bringing us the Teskey Brothers, a blues band who sound like Johnny Lang and Otis Redding and B.B. King and Eric Clapton and Robert Johnson all rolled into one. Yes, I have to plug those guys because Australia gave them to us. When we put this show with all the podcasts we run on, which is iTunes and YouTube and FM.com and TuneIn Radio and Podcast.com and Podcast Garden and Spreaker and Mixcloud and SoundCloud, we're at 80,783 listeners in over 70 countries. Countries I even never heard of. Little bitty countries like down in South Africa, the Czech Republic, Russia, Italy, Egypt, Israel, Japan, and it goes on and on. And I am so, so grateful. And it is because of all you listeners and the guests that keep returning, like my guest tonight. And before we get to her, you too can be successful if you can't get on the show because you live out of the country and it costs an arm and a leg for you to call in. You can go to advertisecast.com and type in Off the Chain in the search engine, and I'll run an ad for you. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't price gouge my vendors. I don't think it's fair, especially indie artists, because we all struggle and we all want to help each other succeed. So go to advertisecast.com, type in Off the Chain, and look at my pricing. You will see that it's pretty reasonable considering this day and age. So with all of that housekeeping done, let us get on with tonight's guest. She has been on the show before. This is her second appearance. I absolutely adore her. She is one of the funniest women I've ever met. Author Ronnie Allen joins us, and she has news, ladies and gentlemen. She is a New York City native who decided that, for whatever reason, she needed to be transplanted to rural Central Florida. Now, it's hard enough coming to Florida because it's tropical paradise. But when you are from New York and the hustle and bustle of the city and you get dropped down in the middle of cow patties, that kind of gets interesting. She is a licensed New York State school psychologist and a teacher in New York City for 33 years. She's got a lot more courage than I do, ladies and gentlemen. She's also a board-certified holistic health practitioner. She uses her education and expertise, alternative therapies in her novels, and the plots and character development. She has out two thrillers. A third one is going to be released soon. Gemini and Aries is already out. And she is just amazing. So without further ado, let's welcome Miss Ronnie Allen. Hello, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Yvonne. It's such a thrill to be back. I'm so excited. There's so much going on.
And this has been a strange month. I don't know if it's because it's October and the spirits are having their way, or if it's the weather, or maybe we have 4 weeks of full moons, but things have been going on all over the place.
Yes, absolutely. Even online, would you believe Google blocked me from looking up spellings because they thought I was a robot? They thought I was a robot. And all of a sudden, I'm getting these error messages. I was looking up hyphenated words, and they said because I was doing it so quickly that they blocked me, and I'd have to wait till the next day to get unblocked. How's that for when you're editing?
That's kind of stupid.
Can you imagine the frustration? I'm like, argh.
Well, the thing is, technology is a beautiful thing. That is why I have a printed dictionary at my hands at all times because even though technology is a beautiful thing, it doesn't always have all the answers and it blocks us.
No, but it's so much easier when I'm editing and I have my iPhone next to me and I can Google a spelling. Because it's
funny.
Even more expansive than, say, if I went into, you know, my Microsoft Word document.
That's true.
Yeah.
But then
I
Google
got
thinks, you're, thinks you're a robot. Oh, my Lord, and the hits just keep on coming. So just to refresh our audience, because I'm pretty sure we're going to have some new listeners that don't know a thing about the wonderful Ronnie Allen. Let's talk about who Ronnie Allen is. Before the show, you told me that this was something I didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, that her parents are from Romania.
Yes, my mother's side, yes. They came over on Ellis Island way, way back. My mother was the only child born here out of six.
So with that kind of history in your family, did you delve into it? I mean, can you imagine? Because you have the Romani, they call them Romani gypsies. You have this wonderful culture out of Romania and all of these wonderful stories that come out of there. Did it pique your interest as a child?
Not so much the history, but definitely the foods and the cooking. And that was brought into our family tremendously. My mother cooked, you know, the Romanian dishes, the fligel, the potted meatballs in with the chicken legs. She'd make sweetbreads. A lot of that had all of the Romanian roots. So dietary-wise, that's where I got it. But I'm the baby of all of my cousins. So they know much more of the history than I do, because by the time I was five or six, my grandparents had passed on. But my cousins still remember those stories.
Well, wouldn't that be fun just to sit down and listen to those stories from that beautiful history country?
Yes, absolutely. And I don't even know. I mean, I'm the baby. I'm 69 now. My cousins are in their late 70s. So I'm not even sure what they would recall from our childhood because it was so far back. But they would mention stories about my family and my mother and certain things I won't say publicly.
Oh, Lordy. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's October and we know that things happen in October. So in just as a short history, you found yourself in Central Florida. Now, Central Florida to me is like my home state of Georgia. It has the seasons change. It has the hot and the cold, and it reminds me of Georgia. That's why I stay out of it.
It's the cooking style. It's more where I am now. It's more Paula Deen style cooking. When you go into South Florida, it's more cosmopolitan. It's more New York. But it was an interesting story how we wound up here. My husband was also a teacher, and he was subbing in a school, and he got this flyer, and he said, "Oh, this looks nice. A 3-day, 2-night kind of thing." I came down, and I fell in love with the newness of the development that we were looking at. And everything was new. My house in Brooklyn was built in 1928. And there were so many things I loved. My mahogany basement, which was spectacular. My 1920s Anderson stove in my kitchen that I kept until we moved out of there just 9 years ago. And we didn't renovate because I liked the oldness. So coming down here and seeing all the newness, it was like, yeah, let's do it. And, you know, then we drive around on the following trips, and I'm like, more cows and horses than people. And, you know, seriously. But I bring that all into the books because I have a character who comes down here and experiences that culture shock. So it is quite humorous. But that's sort of my comic relief in the books. Now, Scorpio's coming out on Saturday, and that's in New York. Libra is coming back down to Florida. That's the fourth book.
And that one, ladies and gentlemen, the publisher's already asking her for it. They want it now, sight unseen, which is a coup for any author. And we will get to the book
Absolutely.
Shortly. But we're going to build up to the books. But this wonderful woman, she is, if those of you that listened to some previous shows, when I had Joan Hazel on, when I had Brittany Quagon on, myself and Ronnie, we all four are empaths. We all four have what is called spirit guides. We all four have mind and body connections. And like I said, this month has been a strange month, because how often do you have four of those types of people together in one month?
You don't. It's rare.
It is rare. It's
yeah.
very rare. So for those that don't know what a mind and body connection is, I want you to explain it to them.
When someone is aware of what's going on in their body and they can tune in, they can sort of self-analyze why it's happening, because each part of the body represents different stresses. For me, asthma has been a burden. We discussed this the last time we went into asthma a lot, was my burden since birth. And since then, in these later years, I have colitis, I have Crohn's, and I'm controlling all of them through diet, and I'm really in remission. But when I'll get a little twinge in my stomach, that's like the emotional center. So it's asking yourself, what's going on in your life that's triggering the sensations there? And for me, it's stress. I mean, when you're going through writing and rewriting and all this stuff, it's stressful. So,
that
you know, that's
true.
Where it would hit. That's where it would hit me. Now, the asthma calmed down, because now I'm much more open. I've always been open as I got into adulthood. But asthma comes through when you're not really letting out your true emotions, when you're not emoting. So you're holding in and your lungs get stiff and congested and they puff up. But with asthma, you can take in air. You can't let air out. So it's symbolic of not letting emotions out. So now I emote all over the place. I don't hold back, you know. So if I want to scream, I will go into a scream. Never on social media. People say to me, "You're so calm and you can write all this stuff." Yes, because I take it out to see the characters. But when you're making the mind-body connection, and you're really in tune, and you start asking yourself, how can I make my life better? Or what choices should I make? That's like gnawing you in the stomach. You know something has to change. If you keep doing the same thing over and over again, you're going to get the same symptoms. And yet I'm not an MD. We're not making any kind of medical claims here. This is purely on the emotional level.
And you and I talked about this before the show, that if we are not in tune with our bodies, we're not in tune with our loved ones' mental or emotional or spiritual state either. So we can't advocate for them that we need to in a hospital setting or a doctor setting, because we don't know what's going on with them any more than the doctor does.
And sometimes the doctors know a lot less.
Oh, that's why they call it a practice. Because they can't get
maybe.
It right.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's a guessing game. It's a crapshoot. Let's throw something against the wall and see if it sticks. I love it when they say
it. I was in the hospital last Friday, and I even took a selfie and put it up on my social media of us in the ambulance, which was quite funny. And I came in, and I told them, I'm having a colitis flare-up. I had the fevers, the chills, which is what I would get. So they went along and said, okay, yeah, you're having a colitis flare-up. And it wasn't. So they went along with my diagnosis. And then when I finally did go to the doctor Tuesday, he said, you have a UTI. I'm like, I never had that in my life.
So now you know.
Yeah, but I'm not getting any symptoms from it either. I'm not getting any pain. I'm not getting anything else, but the blood test showed that. You know, the urine test showed that. But so that's a different kind of medication. In fact, today I was so loopy. I had to call my pharmacy because I said, I'm on a Blog Talk radio show tonight. I have to make sure the words come out of my mouth fluidly. And I'm like out of my mind here. I even baked an apple pie and messed it up.
How do you mess up an apple pie, Ronnie? I want to know. How do you mess up an apple pie?
I put it into the wrong pan. I added too much sugar, which I ordinarily don't eat. I forgot the cinnamon, so I had to lift up the crust after it was in the oven and sprinkle cinnamon back on and put it back in the oven. And then the apples weren't juicy to begin with. So when I took it out of the oven, of course, I had to taste this monstrosity. And I said, no, wait a minute, it's way too dry. I took a hot cup of water and I poured it in between the cracks of the crust that was broken. And it came out delicious. My family is devouring it. And I devoured it too. So, but it's like, how could I forget cinnamon, you know, or the wrong pan? I was just totally out of it today.
Well, I can fall into that category with you, because today has not been a good day physically for me because I have arthritis in every bone in my body, and we had what we call a cold snap down here, and my hands don't work. So I'm in the refrigerator dropping everything I'm picking up.
Yike. That's painful.
Yeah, so I finally just said, screw it, and shut the refrigerator and go in and forget it. Who needs anything out of the refrigerator today? They can get it themselves.
Exactly.
Sorry, honey, if you want anything out of the refrigerator, it's on strike. I'm locking the door.
Well, I locked myself in my office. The house phones are off. The cell phone is off. I'm on another line, and they have been sworn to stay out of here.
Uh-oh. Y'all heard this first, ladies and gentlemen. They could be in one of her books. Now, let's talk about, like, she also, like Joan and like Brittany, Joan reads Tea Charms and Brittany reads tarot cards and Ronnie reads tarot cards. Ronnie also uses the tarot cards in one of her books. Now, when did you learn to read tarot cards, and why do you read the tarot cards?
They are an amazing tool. I was coming from a screenwriting and film background, and we studied the history of story and the archetypes, Joseph Campbell. And then I got very interested in the goddesses, Artemis and Isis. Isis was the first doctor, and she got into crystals and stones, and I became interested in that basically as a venue to help myself and my own bodily healing. And I met some people in Bay Ridge at that time who had a wonderful shop, and she was giving tarot lessons. And I said, you know, this is something I really want to do. And it took several years. I started, I believe, in like 1994. And by 2000, I went up the ranks. I'm a certified tarot master instructor. So I taught tarot one-on-one in big groups online. If you remember the old AOL chat rooms, that were way back. All right,
yes.
I taught in those. Private readings, I used to do email readings, phone readings in person. And when writing grabbed onto me, my novels again, and I had a holistic health practice in New York with all of the spiritual healing modalities, I sort of stopped doing tarot for clients because it wouldn't be fair. My characters are in my head so much that they would be popping through a reading. That's not fair to a paying client.
So
I stopped that, but I use the tarot in the writing of my books. And it's fascinating because it's not a game. It's not a toy. It's a tool of empowerment, and it is something to be taken very seriously and cautiously. Because as a reader, we're not giving medical advice. We're not giving medical diagnosis. We're not saying anything legally. What we're doing is basically giving a plan of what choices the person has, and they're called a querent, what questions the person has of what choices they can make. But it's not medical or legal. I stay away from that because that's totally unethical, and it's practicing medicine without a license. And that's something that irks me with readers, you know, if they do that. But it's because I'm credentialed, I think I have that point of view. But I'll use them in my books, and if you want me to tell your audience how I use it for writing, I'll be happy to.
Oh, absolutely, because it's fascinating.
All right, I'll take a piece of paper, and if I have characters, Nick, Samantha, Frank, John, whoever I want information on, I'll put their name down on a piece of paper, one at a time, or sometimes on a list now, but one at a time, and I'll ask yes-no questions. And ordinarily, when we're doing a reading for someone, we don't do yes-no, but it's real easy for this. I'll pick a card and say, ask a question. Am I developing John the way he should be? It's very generic. It's very broad. And if I get a yes, positive card, and a no is a negative card. So if I get a positive card, all right, that's great. And I'll write, you know, tell me some more about that, and then I can put out four or five more cards. If I get a no, that John is not developed correctly, I'll ask a question, what about John needs to be more developed?
Interesting.
So you're putting it in a positive slant. I'll also use it for my advertising. I'll also use it for chapter pacing. Does this chapter go here? The first book, I rearranged chapters, and I did them by the tarot cards.
That's very interesting.
It's an amazing tool because it gets your ego out of it. Very often, we writers are attached to our ego, and it's like, I'm not changing that, you know. And you're sort of scuttling your career if that's your attitude. In the long run, but if you're open and the cards tell a story and you're open to hearing that story, and even if I'm reading for myself, when I'm reading for a client, I don't have any resources with me, but to make sure my ego is out of it, I'll have a reference book next to me and I'll look it up and I'll reread it just to get a broader perspective that I'm not slanting it.
That I like that take on that, because it forces you as a writer to open your mind to be more receptive to other things rather than one point of view.
Exactly, and to accept criticism.
Yes. I do like that. Now, in conjunction with that, you're also a Reiki master and you read crystals. And
I'm Reiki too. I'm not a master yet.
Reiki too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if we have the same audience tonight that we had with Brittany and with Joan, who are both Reiki. Explain to the folks what that is.
That is hands-on energy healing. If you rub your hands together and really briskly, you'll see the friction. You'll feel the friction. And by having someone relax in a meditative state, now, interestingly, with Reiki, the rules vary. If you're a nurse, even if you're a manicurist or a pedicurist, you have a license to touch. And Reiki masters have a license to touch. So their hand could be right on your arm, on your leg. We stay away from any, you know, private parts. And
right.
If you're – all right? So they have a license to touch, and that means they can actually touch the skin. People who do not, who are practicing Reiki, have to have their hands hover over the person. Unless they ask before, is it okay if I touch your head? Is it okay if I touch your cheek or your feet or, you know, or whatever part of the body?
Interesting.
So when you're touching, the energy goes through and you feel the heat and it opens up channels where the person can de-stress. And if it is affecting the emotion center, just like with crystal therapy, the person can become very weepy, you know, because they're emoting so much. And I'll do meditations when I have someone on the table to open up the circulation, open up the feet, the chakra points in the feet, so that all negative energy can pour out because you don't want it congested there.
Because that causes other problems.
Exactly. But, you know, to practice as a Reiki master, it's intense study. You don't want to mess around with someone's energy.
No, because, and this is what we talked about the other night with our other guest, is energy is powerful within itself, and we are all energy.
Yes, yes. And that's why cleansing your own self after a healing session, instead of going from one person to the next, there are ways to clean your hands. You can either do it with the light of a candle, or you can run them under cold water. I run them under cold water with my palms facing down, my fingertips facing down, and that allows all the negative energy that the practitioner has accumulated working on someone to let that run out of their bodies. Because as healers, we're almost like psychic sponges. A lot of healers do get sick after working on someone who's not at their optimum.
Because you pull in the energy that you've pulled out of that person. And it's the same. It's almost like being an empath, because when I go into I can't stand crowds, and I always thought I was just neurotic. But when I realize, no, I'm not neurotic, I pick up every bit of the energy in the room, whether it's 10 people or 10,000 people, I pick up their energy, good, bad, or indifferent. And sometimes it's so overwhelming if I haven't prepared myself. It's so overwhelming. It's like a sensory overload, and I have to leave.
Do you protect yourself with anything?
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
Yeah, see, I'm finding I will have hematite, which is the black, silvery tumble stone, in my socks. I will have protective stones in my shorts pocket or whatever I was working on. I'll have crystals around my neck because you need that energy barrier to protect yourself.
I guess I need to
start
wearing crystals.
So black tourmaline. Yeah, black tourmaline might work for you.
That's
unless
a good
you're
idea.
Depressed. Yeah, and you're a very up person, but too much black tourmaline can make a person depressed.
I can't. Well, I used to think I was a manic depressive, but it's not. I'm a manic depressive. It was the negative energy as a child and as a young adult that was coming onto me from other people that I was absorbing, because I'm really not a depressed person.
Are you allergic to any scents?
Some, but not like I used to be.
All right, then get gardenia.
Oh, I have gardenias in my yard.
Gardenia bath gel, gardenia shower gel, moisturizer, and you put it on after you shower or in the shower, going from head to toe. You do a meditation. Gardenia is a very protective flower. It prevents you from catching things from other people. So if I'm going into a crowd, if I'm going into a meeting, before I go, I've been using my gardenia body spray, and it's protective. I'm not going to catch something from someone else if they're physically sick. And then the emotional toxicity is even worse.
That's a good idea. I will take you up on that.
Yeah.
Because
so
it gets overwhelming sometimes, and you want to – I just leave because I have – and then if I can't leave, if I can't get out, I just find a corner and go sit in it and shut down for a while.
Yes, you can do that too. And keep your feet flat on the floor. And if you don't want to absorb negativity, cross your feet at the ankles.
Oh, you're in my head again. I do that naturally.
Yes, but I started doing that when I was practicing. Even if I'm doing a reading for someone, they can't see your feet. So you cross your ankles, and it prevents the negativity that's coming across the floor from going up into you.
That is interesting, because I've done that just as a normal thing to do. Well, and in the South, part of the Southern raising of young ladies was you didn't cross your legs like a man. You crossed your feet at the ankles and sat proper with your back straight.
So it's
just a natural thing to do. Now, let's talk about a pole you want to do.
Yes. In fact, I have to figure out how to do this on my author page, but I think it can be done on my laptop. All right. When I was doing Scorpio, I put a poll up on my page, and I did it at every single event, and I asked people what they want for the fourth book title. And Libra, and this is over a six-month period, and Libra got the most votes out of all the astrological signs that were left, so Libra was the fourth book. So now I'm ready to do one for the fifth, and I have three options. And I want to discuss this with my readership as well. And if people want to comment on this video to give me their opinion, and yeah, it would matter if they read my books also as well. That would be a tremendous help, but they don't have to. So these are my three options. The first one, book five, the same characters, same setting. So I'd be continuing with John Trenton and Vicky and Ricky and Frank Chaos and his little boy Frankie and Detective Samantha Wright and the police team. So that would be book five, continuing with different scenarios, of course, different scenes. And just like so many of the other authors do, James Patterson and Catherine Coulter and Nora Roberts, they can take their characters for like 20 books. The second option. The second option is book five in the series, new characters and new setting. And yet it could still be the sign within the crime. The next option is a new book out of the series with brand new people and brand new situation. So those are the three options. And if we went with the fifth book title, we have Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Taurus, Pisces, Capricorn, Sagittarius, and Aquarius left. Now, Cancer, Leo, and Virgo, and Pisces were a tie for 10. The others had a little less. And if I'm also looking at book titles, Capricorn and Sagittarius would be long on a book title, so I don't know how the font would look. So I'm leaning towards Cancer, Leo, Virgo, and Pisces. Taurus and Aquarius came in very low in my count.
Really?
Which was very interesting last year. They had like 4 or 7 when the others had way up into the high teens. So that's what I kind of wanted. Yeah. So I wanted to ask, what is your opinion? What do you think I should do?
Oh, dear me. You could do book five and blend all three options into one to spin off in another whole series. See how I just complicated your life?
No, you didn't, because the characters in book one and two, in Gemini and Aries, are all in Scorpio and Libra. So, of course, you're going to have new characters in the fifth book, because it's going to be a different crime. So there'll always be additional characters in there.
And that could be the beginning of a new series. Make the crime seem very interesting this time.
Well, I think they are now also.
Yeah, of course they are.
Are. Yeah, it's something to think about because it now is. That because Libra is with my critique partners and it's going to the publisher, and it's something to think about when you're starting brand new with a brand new clean notebook. And I never really have questions with this, and you know, obviously the decision will be mine, you know, which way I go. But it's just an interesting conversation to have with people.
Well, it gets you out there, and you learn what readers are thinking about and how their reaction is to the characters in the book, because if they read the series, they get close to some characters, other characters they want to see be killed off, others they sympathize with, they get mad at them, but they're okay with them, and they watch them either grow or die out.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So it's a way of testing the waters and asking readers. I'm very interested in what readers have to say. Of course, reviews are so appreciated by people, you know, by us authors, and we love to get them, even if it's a one-sentence review.
Yeah.
But it's nice to hear someone's feedback on what you've done, and that's what we count on the reviews for.
What might be interesting is to have little Frankie grow up and maybe join the police force or something.
Well, right now he's 8. So, you know, when you talk about real time or book time,
mm-hmm.
you know, you want to know, like, I'm not going to be able to make him old enough within the next book. There's not going to be that much of a span. Yeah.
Could be something down the road, though.
Yes, yes. People ask me if I'm going to be doing all 12, and I'm up there in age, so my answer is always let me live long enough. Because you figure it's a year to write and then a year to come out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're looking
at
a hefty time here.
So you might have to do double time, Ronnie. You might have to write 2 at a time.
Well, I write long. I mean, you know my books are long. So
yeah.
That's why I pretty much do, you know, the one a year.
All right, let's talk about, because Scorpio's coming out. So let's give our audience a background with the first 2 books and then lead up to Scorpio.
All right, In Gemini takes place in New York, and it introduces you to Dr. John Trenton, who's a forensic psychiatrist. And the book goes what we call going back. And there's a difference between going back and flashback. My goings back are 3 years earlier to the present. And in the first book, there's a female serial killer who was dumped in his lap for observation. No one knew what she was at that time. He discovers it. So in the going back, it's 3 years earlier when he meets the love interest, who is Vicky. And in writing, Vicky Elizabeth Marin, gave herself a much larger role than I had intended.
Ah.
I'm not going to give spoilers out, but in the going back, and then the idea is to link all your subplots together. So then,
mm-hmm.
of course, they come back into the present. And she is instrumental in ending the case with the killer. Now, Aries has different characters. And I did that because when I started writing Aries, I didn't have a contract on Gemini yet. So I didn't know, should I write the second book in the series without the first one being contracted? And as I was several months in with these brand new characters who I loved, Dr. Frank Chaos and Detective Samantha Wright, I got the contract. So that's how The Sign Behind the Crime came to be. It wasn't really meant to be a series with the first book. With the second book, when the Aries element started coming out, I went, aha, because my tagline was the mind behind the crime. I said, how about the sign behind the crime? So
I like it.
That, you know, so thank you. So that flowed that way. And then with Scorpio, the characters from both books are in that book. And the same thing with Libra. So John Trenton comes back from Florida, because he ends up in Florida, comes back to New York. He has a case that's very close to his heart, a very heartbreaking case. And Frank Chaos and Samantha Wright have their cases. It's very hard for Sam. Her best friend was killed by this man. And then forensic science links Frank to the killer. So I'm not getting into all of that, but it's technical. Not technical and medical where you're reading a text, of course, but it's enough to really unnerve the character. And in the end, of course, they get justice, and Sam is in a very tenuous, dangerous situation, and we don't know if she'll be the 18th victim. At least the reader won't know until they read the book. And then in Libra, that's a continuation.
So see, ladies and gentlemen, it would behoove you to read the books in sequence because of the way that the way the characters are making Ronnie write the books, because Ronnie understands what I'm saying. We don't write the books. We're just the facilitators.
Right. But what I did was there is enough information in the books to catch the reader up to speed that they can be read as a standalone.
Aha.
So someone can read Scorpio and find out enough. Hopefully it'll whet their appetite to want to get book one and two. But they're not essential to read in order.
But it's more fun if they read them in order, would it not be?
Maybe, maybe not. It's what they like, you know?
True.
Because both characters are very, very different. Dr. John Trenton is an Armani suit kind of guy, longish. They're both men are in their 40s. Azurite blue eyes, long shoulder-length black hair, no tattoos, more dressy. Dr. Frank Chaos is a third-degree black belt in BJJ. He's tatted. He's in jeans and T-shirts and skinny jeans. So it depends upon the kind of characters readers like, and they would get that in the blurb.
Sweet. So, no, y'all cannot go now because we're not through talking to Ronnie. You're just going to have to wait a few minutes.
Oh, because I have that.
Oh, they all want to just go now and buy your books, and I tell them they can until after.
Oh, I thought you were talking to a little fur family or something.
No, the audience has to wait until after the show to go on Amazon because we have more things to talk about.
That's awesome.
So Scorpio will be out in 2 days, correct?
Yes, it's up for pre-order now in the United States, Canada, the UK, and Italy.
And it will be up for sale in Australia in a couple of 3 days, I guess.
Yes, Saturday the 28th is the official birth date. And I put it on Facebook. I gave birth again. They're my birth grandchildren. They're my book grandchildren. Because I don't have any.
I love it. So if folks want to do your poll, can they find you on Facebook and give you a little nudge there?
Yes, I have to create the poll. I have to figure out how to do it. But these would be the options in there. And, yes, my Facebook page, if you do on the search bar, Ronnie A. Novelist, and my Facebook page will come up. And I'll make it the pinned post. And probably I'll put the pinned post up, like, later next week, because right now the release of Scorpio is the pinned post. So that will be coming up soon, this poll.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, y'all heard it here first. Now, I have a question written down that I found out about Ronnie, because y'all all know I go deep diving when I have guests on my show, because I like to find out the little nuances that most people don't ask them. And that's what makes this show so great. That's why we call it Off the Chain. And one of the sites I found on you, there was a statement that a teacher embarrassed you. What in the world, because I understand that, but what in the world did a teacher do to embarrass you of all people?
There were a couple of situations. So one was in junior high and one was in college. So which one did you read about? Do you know? I'll tell you both.
Tell me both.
I was in a seventh grade physical education class. And my asthma was very bad as a kid. I mean, I almost died at birth. I had to be resuscitated. So that's been my nemesis, my life. And I'm sitting in a seventh grade phys ed class. And it was a classroom, it wasn't a gym. And I was starting to get wheezy and very, you know, I was starting to have an asthma attack. So he made me stand up. And he said, look at her. She can't even breathe.
No, he did.
Yes, he did. And, you know, I became a teacher for two reasons. There are people become teachers for two reasons. One is because they had you had such a wonderful childhood and experience in school. You want others to have the same. Second, and which is why I became a teacher, I had such a miserable time getting along with peers, getting along with teachers, not having them have a sense of what an asthmatic child is. And we're going into the, these were in the, this must have been in the 50s, the late 50s. So I graduated from high school in 66. And I never wanted another child to be treated like that again. And that's what pushed me into education all these years.
So you can also say, I just want to thank everyone because of that. Yeah, see, I picked the right song tonight, didn't I?
Well, you did it last time, too. And I'm like, yes, because you know how many people, even when you say you want to write a novel, they say you and a million other people. But you've got to get past that.
Exactly.
And the second instance happened in college. Here I was a freshman, and I was running for freshman homecoming queen. And I was in an English class, and this guy comes, the guy, teacher, he must have been in his late 30s by then, comes over to me, slams a paper upside down on my desk with an F, and he says it in front of everybody, and everybody knew me because they knew I was running for homecoming queen, so I wasn't a stranger in there, and he said to me, "You write like a 3-year-old." I'll tell you, that pushed me to always strive for a higher readability level in my own writing. But it pushed me through college, through my master's, through a formal dissertation for my master's, into my doctorate, into my classes, into all of my to my doctoral dissertation, and even with my books, I always check readability level because, darn him, I do not write like a 3-year-old. And
no,
people who've read
doesn't.
My books, you know, and people who've read my books, you know, I mean, I've been compared in reviews to some of the top thriller authors as far as their skill level. And obviously my publisher feels the same way because they wouldn't keep giving me contracts. But it's coping with people like this who should never be in a classroom.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Ronnie also wants to tell those two teachers, thank you.
Yes, and I'm sure they've passed on by now.
But their spirits are out there somewhere, Ronnie.
Absolutely. You know, and my last 3 years teaching with the New York City Board of Ed, I worked in a program where we ran around the city coaching teachers and making them more receptive to changes in the classroom, you know, and all of that. And I've always been an advocate for children. And that's a theme in my books. It's the dedication in my books. If I see a teacher mistreating a child, I go off. I mean, not in an unprofessional way, but in a conflict resolution kind of way. Because it is not acceptable for anyone to mistreat a child.
And on that note, would you believe our hour's almost up?
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah.
What a fabulous time. Yeah.
And of course, you're coming back after the first of the year, right?
I would love to. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Okay. So with that being said, tell the folks where you can be found and where your books can be found.
All right. I'm on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Kobo, and my publisher, Black Opal Books. My website is ronnieallennovel.com. And believe it or not, I didn't even have a chance yet to upload Scorpio to my website. It's just been so busy with writing, but I will get to that. And Instagram, Ronnie A. Novelist. And if you follow me on Instagram, you'll get a whole lot of goodies and my recipes and my gluten-free and all that good stuff. Twitter, I'm Ronnie A. Novelist. And Pinterest, they can find me as Ronnie Allen. That's my real name, no pseudonym.
And she's also on Facebook, ladies and gentlemen. So,
yes, at Ronnie A. Novelist on Facebook.
So y'all all know how much I love my guest, and I'm saying this now because I have some closing things to say. I want to thank you, my dear, for spending an hour with me. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and I love your cape. Oh, my goodness, I'm going to wear it a lot this winter.
Good. Oh, yeah, she also wears my designer collection that can be found on Vita.com under Yvonne Sewell. She is one of my models, and you don't know how much I appreciate that.
Oh, you are very welcome. It was stunning. And the fabric is gorgeous. It goes with so much of my clothes.
Yes, it does. So y'all just have to go check it out, ladies and gentlemen. Now, tomorrow night, author Elizabeth Raven will make her debut appearance with us. And then on Saturday night, poet Robert Lutherford, and I cannot talk anymore, my co-host will be Garrett Pomintzer from Hanging with Webb. It's going to be a pre-Halloween show, so that should be lots of fun. And y'all know I have several sayings that I say at the end of every show because I feel very strongly about them. And one of them is, don't just feel special, ladies and gentlemen, be special. Because if you just feel special, it's just an emotion and it will fade away. You have to believe you are special. And to back that up, if you want to achieve greatness, would you please stop asking permission? Because nobody's going to give it to you. If anything, they're going to do you like they did Ronnie and I. They're going to tell you, not no, but hell no. Who do you think you are? Well, we've shown them, Ronnie. We can
absolutely
take that. We can put that in the bank. And the difference, ladies and gentlemen, between who you are right now and who you want to be tomorrow is what you do today. Now think about that. The difference between who you are right now, who you want to be tomorrow, is what you do today. So if you want to be a writer, if you want to be a musician, if you want to be a designer, if you want to be a garbage collector, then I suggest you do it today. Don't put it off, because you will remain who you are today if you keep putting it off. One day you will be just a memory. And when you are just that memory, you want to be a good one. Your smile is your logo. Your personality is your business card. And how you leave others feeling after having had an experience with you, I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, that is indeed your trademark. Ask Ronnie. Correct, Ronnie?
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it.
So I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. The hour always flies by, and I have amazing guests every single show. I am so grateful for each and every one of them. They are absolutely the best. And I want to continue this show. We're not even 2 years old yet, ladies and gentlemen. Just think, not only is the world is our oyster, it's the entire ocean. And we can go so far with it, and my guests can become so successful by being on the show and getting heard in places that they might not even have the opportunity. So keep spreading the word. Join us tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. And don't forget, November the 5th, we go back to Standard Time. We drop back an hour. So instead of Daylight Time, I'll be saying Eastern Standard Time. Ronnie, in about 30 seconds, what have you got for us?
I'm absolutely thrilled to be here, Yvonne. You are just an amazing, awesome woman. It's such a thrill to speak to you again. And I wish everybody well. Get on the writing bandwagon. Just do it. Don't hesitate. Just as you said, Yvonne, get your butt in the chair and get those ideas flowing and open
exactly
up your mind to be receptive to the ideas.
So tomorrow night, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, join us. This is my guest, Ronnie Allen, and I saying good night from here, from off the chain.
Good night.
Okay, you know, now we're off the air, so
okay, great.
This thing's going to go up into archives, and what I'm telling you will show up in the archives, but it's going to go up in archives. I will tag you. I'll put it up, and I'll tag you, and then you take it and run with it, and then tomorrow I'm going to put it up on all the podcasts just like we did before.
Wonderful, and I will run with it.
And you have a marvelous evening, and go eat some more pie. Have a piece
thank
for me.
You. Yeah, thank you so much.
And I will get you on. We're starting the month of April has one or two people, so we're starting fresh in the month of April. January, February, and March is all booked up.
Okay, that's wonderful.
So I will. You tell me Wednesday through Saturday. You tell me what dates are good for you. And
do you want to do another Thursday? Today's Thursday. Do you want to do another Thursday night?
Sure. You want to do it towards the middle of the month?
Sure.
Okay. It's done. I'll get you on the books as soon as we get off from here.
Okay, wonderful.
And I'll talk to you later, my darling.
Thank you so much. It was wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
You're welcome, honey.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.